Western Canada. Live broadcast at radiobaladi.com. Radio Baladi is broadcast every Friday morning in the Dearborn region on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Good Morning Michigan with Layla Al-Husseini. Radio Baladi is broadcast at the same time in Chicago on WJJG 1530 AM from 7 to 8 Central Time on Radio Chicagoland, hosted by Ray Hanania. Our call-in numbers in the Dearborn region are 248-557-3300 or in Chicago at 708-493-1530. Go to RadioBaladi.com for contact information and show guests. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues with your hosts, Layla Al-Husseini and Ray Hanania.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Baladi here on Friday, June 22nd, 8 a.m. in Detroit, 7 a.m. in Chicago. I'm Ray Hanania. Our phone number is 248-557-3300. Radio Baladi is proud to be brought to you by Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of attorney Stephen Lagana, the American Muslim Center, and also our radio partners. We broadcast live over Radio Aramica. Really proud to do that. Anton Faisal, the publisher there, is a great guy, and he has a wonderful newspaper, Aramica newspaper, out there on the East Coast, and actually it's national. But you can listen with your cell phone by dialing 712-432-8008, 712-432-8008. Listen on your cell phone when you're not listening on radio or not listening online. We're broadcast online off our website at radiobaladi.com. We're also partnering with the Beirut Times newspaper, Al-Muntada newspaper, MC Gold TV, Sabil Media, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, the law offices of Jumana K. Ruse, and Life for Relief and Development, and, of course, the National American Arab Medical Association. Don't forget, we also partner with Good Morning Michigan, broadcast every Monday through Thursday on WNZK AM 690 at 8 a.m., right here on the same station, Monday through Thursday, and hosted by Layla Al-Husseini, the award-winning journalist. Layla is in Washington for the ADC convention. Hey, I'm not going. I'm always in the middle of controversy, so I'm staying away from that. So what am I going to do? I got a great guest that we're going to be talking with, and I'll tell you, I'm so excited because, one, because I'm in journalism. All my life, 35 years, and every time I would see an Arab on TV, I'd go berserk as a kid. I remember as a kid, I'd go, oh, that guy's an Arab, and everybody would look at me like, so what? What's the problem? And they just don't get it because we're not part of, the mainstream culture a lot of times. Even today, with all the things that are happening and the influence of the Middle East, we're still kind of like a footnote, and we don't do what we're doing. We're just not part of it. We're not the focus, and we should be the focus. I think next week, President Obama is going to be speaking to NALEO, the National Association of Latino something organization, elected officials or something. Not even sure what it is. But when is President Obama? He's supposed to be Muslim, all right? Everybody, all his critics say he's Muslim. All his critics say he's an Arab. And he really came out swinging in support of us. He's never addressed a major Arab organization. Why not? Is it his fault or is it our fault? Anyway, those are some of the issues that I always hammer about. But I am proud to invite our guest, Amin El-Gamal. Amin, welcome to Radio Baladi this morning in Detroit. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me.
No, we're really excited because, again, you know, I'm in journalism, and anything about journalism gets me excited, okay? And two, there's an Arab that's going to be involved with this journalism venture, The Newsroom, which premieres Sunday on HBO, I believe at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'll have to double-check the time. Probably Central, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, but we'll double-check the time. And the fact that you're in one of the episodes that is going to be broadcast on The Newsroom. I think it's July 22nd, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Your episode, we're doing the countdown. We're going to do a national party to celebrate you being part of that, because people who are listening, I don't think, realize how important this is. You know, Aaron Sorkin is phenomenal. I mean, he's done so much. The West Wing, and he was the screenwriter of The Social Network and Moneyball, and now The Newsroom, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's really going to break big, and you're going to shoot into stardom July 22nd, hopefully.
That's the plan.
Well, listen, first let's introduce you to the audience. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, you're American, Egyptian by heritage. You know, give us a little background on who you are, what you've been doing, you know, any other films or acting you've done.
Well, my name is Amin El Gamal. I was born to two Egyptian immigrants. I'm a first generation Egyptian. I was born and raised in the Bay Area. I went to Stanford University, and then later, when I kind of was more serious about acting, I decided to go to conservatory at the University of Southern California for 3 years. I graduated a year ago. Since then, I've been doing quite a bit of theater, a little bit of commercials, and then independent film work. And then a few months ago, I was lucky enough to be at an audition with Aaron Sorkin directly for The Newsroom. So that's kind of my big break. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's a huge break. How many people shoot up that fast? That's tremendous.
Yeah, it was only a few months out of graduate school in acting, so I'm pretty lucky. Pretty exciting.
And you're going to be playing a specific character on this one episode, July 22nd. I mean, listen, all the listeners out there, I want you to watch The Newsroom, of course, because we need to do more and understand the media as American Arabs and Muslims. We have to engage the media, so we need to understand how the media even presents itself, you know, in movies and TV. So we got to watch it when it premieres Sunday, but especially because, I mean, is going to be one of the star actors in that episode on July 22nd. What are you going to be doing without giving away, you know, the obvious, you know, things that will be happening in your episode? But what's your role in The Newsroom, and what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I won't give a lot of specific things, but I'm playing a young Egyptian during the revolution, who the main staff in The Newsroom is having trouble getting footage of the Egyptian Revolution. So Dev Patel, who's one of the regulars on the show, he's from Slumdog Millionaire. His character is kind of big on the blogosphere. He finds my character, who's posting video on YouTube, who's a bit of a social media kind of geek. And I help them by giving them footage. Then there's a little bit of intrigue and drama that I'm not going to give away.
Right.
But, it's really exciting. It's the fifth episode. Like you said, it's July 22nd, and my character is actually the title character of that episode. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and that's a major role. I mean, that's phenomenal. And you know, HBO TV is not like what cable used to be 15 years ago. HBO is mainstream TV today. It's like ABC. In fact, I think I watch HBO more then I watch, you know, the main networks, quote-unquote, like ABC or CBS. So you're going to be premiering across the country. Are you ready for stardom, I hope?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we all ready? You know, can anybody be ready? But, you know, how does it feel being an Arab American in Hollywood? Because, you know, we know some. Saeed Bedria is a friend of ours. He comes on our show occasionally, does some movies. We've talked to a number of American Arabs. They're like journalists, Arab-American journalists. You could count them on one or two hands. And
There
are not a lot of us, but, you know, it's such an important field. You know, what's it like in, you know, for you as, you know, an American Arab and a Muslim, I presume?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in, you know, the media, and this, you know, HBO TV series is part of the media.
Well, because I'm at the beginning of my career, and I think a lot of other Arab American actors probably experience the same thing. A lot of actors of any different ethnicity besides white probably experience the same thing, is that we tend to get pigeonholed in the beginning before our work is really known. auditioning for roles like terrorists or kind of ethnic specific roles. So that can be a little bit frustrating, but I think when you realize how many people are trying to make it in Hollywood and how big the pool is, it kind of makes sense that you would be divided kind of by your looks in the beginning until people get to know your work better, and then you can kind of expand to do more mainstream roles. But it's tricky. I mean, there's people, Arab people, who can kind of blend in to the mainstream and kind of deny their Arabness or don't go that path. There's others who embrace it more. There's people who will accept roles like terrorists, the people that won't. So it can be a kind of tricky divide. You get pigeonholed very easily. I don't know. I feel like my ethnicity and my background has really helped me in this case because I've found this very inspiring role. I have auditioned for terrorists before, and it's a little bit degrading, to be honest.
Yeah. It is horrible. I mean, you know, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place as American Arab trying to get into Hollywood because you're right. The first positions are going to be the ones that Hollywood is writing to. So the only really scripting of Arab characters are going to be in the context of what we read every day in the newspapers, which is Arab terrorism. So, yeah, that's a tough thing to do. But, you know, I've always believed you got to break into the system no matter how you do it. And once inside, when you become the president of HBO 20 years from now, you can change things, and you really can be, you know, you have the chance to do it.
And I think actors have that responsibility as public people. They have that kind of activist responsibility, especially actors that come from a minority, to as accurately represent, you know, the people that they're representing as possible. So it was important to me, for instance, that the details of my character were, you know, ring somewhat true. Just because Arab Americans don't get that much time in the spotlight, and because they definitely don't get that much positive time in the spotlight.
Right.
So that was really important to me.
And there's a bell curve with the issue of challenge. You know, for example, the issue of Egypt and the pro-democracy movement there, you know, it's been a little divisive in the United States because I think the government preferred the, you know, amiable dictator to the, you know, people being democratic.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and this is kind of the real test because I'm more of a secular, I would be more interested in a secular Egypt. I'm not pro-Islam, you know, an Islamic.
Right.
Government. At the same time, if we want democracy in Egypt, we have to accept what the Egyptian people are going to vote for.
Right.
I think the real, and that's not might be, that might not be ideal for us. My family might not like it, you know, the United States.
I didn't like George Bush for 8 years, but I didn't go berserk. You know, I criticized him, but I recognized that, hey, you know, that's our democratic system.
That's who elected it, who we elected as a country. And also, you recognize, hopefully, that when the term is over, they will leave. And that's the big thing in Egypt.
Right.
If whoever is elected will leave when the term is over, then that is the victory.
Right. No presidents for life, which is a affliction that we have, not just in the Middle East, but in the American Arab and Muslim community. We have people that, you know, everybody forms their own. Nobody wants to work together. They all form their own organization. And to compete with each other, usually if someone else does something, they want to do the same thing. We don't have a lot of networking and working together, you know, a support network. So it becomes very challenging to us. And I was going to say earlier that, you know, for the topic of Egypt is much more acceptable, for example, than the topic of Palestine in the mainstream American media. So it's going to be a little easier, I think, you know, for an Egyptian American or an Arab American or a Muslim to portray a story like in HBO's The Newsroom that deals with Egypt's pro-democracy fight. But
I mean, that's very popular. It was a popular movement here. I mean, the revolution there, Frank, inspired. I mean, it was overwhelmingly popular in the American imagination. So, I mean, it's not much of a risk for them to do that. But I see kind of the Arab Spring as a next step. I mean, 9/11 kind of casts a shadow on on Arabs and Arab Americans, and the revolution has kind of given us a more positive affiliation now, I think.
Right, and I, what I was going to say was that, you know, it's been very challenging over the years because the spotlight has been always on the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Yeah.
So Arabs have found it very difficult to break into the media, specifically because we're lumped into one category. You know, even though I'm Palestinian, you know, even if I wasn't, they'd still view me as, oh, are you pro-Israeli or not? You wouldn't get hired. I remember when I got hired at the my first newspaper job, you know, in 1976 with a big community newspaper that was a daily called the South Town. The editor called me in and said, listen, I've read some of your letters. You're a great writer. But all my letters were about the Arab-Israeli conflict to their newspaper. And he goes, listen, you're a great writer, but you got to keep your views on your side of the typewriter. And I'm going, okay, whatever. To get the job, I'll do whatever I have to. But as soon as I tried to assert myself, you know, it would cause conflict, as it did at the Chicago Sun-Times, you know, where I was a City Hall reporter for like 17 years. As soon as I tried to become Arab, an American Arab, that's when I really started to have the challenge. And I guess this may apply, and I'm not trying to drag you into politics, but there wasn't a support network for Arabs who have, you know, explored these unexplored areas like the news media or Hollywood theater. In other words, if something you get in trouble for something, there's not a big support network out there to help you.
My family felt a lot of that growing up, and I was always really confused. I was kind of, you know, I was like, what do I have to do with the conflict going on in Israel? I have nothing to do with that, and yet I was always associated.
Right.
My family was always associated with that, and we felt very isolated, especially when I was growing up. I just felt we were kind of, people would always think of us in terms of either acts of terrorism or...
Right, or that you hate other people and,
yeah,
you know... It's tough, isn't it? I mean, growing up Arab in this country can be very difficult because you're stereotyped right out of the box. You don't get a chance, really, to kind of define yourself.
I think the best that we can do is to be open about who we are and educate people and show people that we're human beings and let them kind of decide for themselves. I think that's the best we can do. I think the climate is a little bit better now.
Yes.
I have to say, it feels better than when I was growing up.
Well, usually, if they were gonna, you know, years ago when I was younger, if they were gonna put somebody in, script somebody in as for an Arab character, it would probably be a non-Arab playing the role, somebody they could trust. So we finally got to the stage where, you know, they would put Arabs in as Arab terrorists, and now we're at the stage where, hey, now they're offering Arab Americans like you and others the opportunity to play other roles, not just the Arab American roles, but, you know, mainstream roles, and I hope that's what's going to happen.
And others exist. I mean, there's that character on Community, I can't remember his name, who's, I think he's actually Indian or East Asian, but his character is supposed to be Arab, and he's like a regular on the show, and he's funny. He's a little bit neurotic and a little bit strange, but he's like a somewhat positive character, and it's just incidental that he happens to be Arab. So those crop up a little bit more.
Right.
I think TV is beginning to change a little bit faster than film. Well, that's my sense in terms of more inclusionary roles, more diversity.
Where we get involved to make movies. In other words, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my parents wanted me to be a doctor or a grocery store owner. You know, they weren't telling me, Ray, we want you to be a journalist. You know, they looked as journalists as terrible people who said bad things about Arabs and, you know, the news media hates us, get out of it. And then Hollywood was just an extension of the media. You know, all the movies were ugly Arabs, anti-Arab. And we'd go to the movie and, you know, you got to the point where you'd look for movies where there wasn't a Middle East theme just so you wouldn't see, you know, someone who looked like your uncle, you know, being portrayed as a terrorist. Vicious murderer. It was horrible, you know. But you're right. It is changing, and unfortunately, I think every ethnic group probably goes through this. But I think for us, it's been slower.
Yeah, it's been slower. I think part of it is because for whatever reason, there isn't a unified, or there has, or maybe there is recently, it seems to be kind of cropping up. There seems to be more organizations. There is an organization in Hollywood, a little bit of a watchdog group called, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's the Hollywood, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a branch of the, I think, Muslim American Public Affairs Council.
Right.
They actually have a Hollywood branch. They used to be at USC. I don't know if they are anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of an industry group, and they're open for free consultations with people with TV and film writers who are developing Arab characters who don't know anything and want to get educated on how to, you know, on what, on fair portrayals of,
they're filling the void of parents who weren't telling their kids, hey, Amin, I want you to be an actor. You know, hey, Ray, I want you to be a journalist.
Well, now, this person's actually working with film and TV writers, you know, for free to educate them. So if they're going to, if someone's like, oh, I have this Palestinian character, I don't, you know, they'll help them kind of, you know, find a more accurate name, try to make sure that it's not, there aren't like gross, you know.
Well, even something like that, though, just between you and I mean, my feeling is the ideal way to be successful is to be good at what you do. So number one, you know, for you to be on TV as an actor or in Hollywood, you have to be a good in the profession of acting. And I assume that's how you got to the first step. You are good, obviously. Otherwise, Aaron Sorkin, who is probably one of the best, would not have, you know, slated you. So you come in being good. And then the bias sometimes fits in. Even though you're talented, you know, maybe they don't like your opinions or because of your ethnicity or religion, they'll push you aside. We still have to be good first.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Before being an activist.
Listen, an older actor who said, you know, for us, and this actor was from Mexico, but she was telling me for people like us who are a different ethnicity, we have to be, you know, 300, we have to be 300 times.
Right.
And that's fine because that will, you know.
That motivates you to do more, right.
Motivates you to be, yeah, it's a motivator for me. I mean, it's a big motivator because when I was growing up, like you were saying, I wasn't pushed to be an engineer because I was never really inclined that way, but my dad's an engineer. And it was never really, acting was never really thought of as something that, you know, they kind of let me do it here and there. Other times they didn't. My parents, it wasn't thought of as a career. And I think if more Arab American parents kind of fostered the arts a little bit more and kind of supported their kids, then we might have a little bit more of a voice in Hollywood. And there are more. I see more and more. Because I went to USC, they have one of the best film schools in the country. And I saw a lot more Middle Eastern American filmmakers in their program, I think, than there used to be. So there is, you know, it is evolving. But you're right. There is no one to look up to. The path has never really been taken. It's not one that's taken very often.
Yeah, years ago, we never really had any Arab Americans in journalism or the media. I had no role models when I entered journalism in 1976. You know, who were Arab or Muslim. There was, you know, Helen Thomas, who I, only because her last name was the same as Danny Thomas, I thought, okay, she must be Arab. You know, she could be Arab. But she never talked about being Arab until years and years later. You know, so there wasn't a role model, you know, to kind of push us to say, hey, I want to be a journalist. You become a role model by being successful at HBO and on TV. Young Arab Americans are going to see you and say, hey, that guy's Arab. I could do that. So that's how we're really going to promote it. Because most of the initial Hollywood actors and comedians and journalists, we all got in because of political activism and wanting to change things. And I think your generation of success is going to reflect more. We're very talented. We're going to be great actors. And to us, this is a profession, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, it started with a passion for acting. I don't know where that stems from. And then I continued to hone in my skills and get as good as I could possibly be. And now that I'm working a little bit more and a little bit more visibly, I've realized that I have a responsibility to represent Arab Americans in a better light. Because when I was younger, there was no one that looked like me on TV, or when there was,
right.
like you were saying, in some awful comedy, this terrible, evil, you know, kind of buffoon character with a
right.
weird sense.
I remember watching Andy and Mayberry when I was a kid. And, you know, now for a lot of people, that's an old, we're talking 50s and 60s. But there was a scene in it one time where these two little old ladies were making hooch, you know, whiskey in their backyard. And Sheriff Andy, you know, was going out to investigate. And they couldn't prove that these two little old ladies were making hooch. And the one person who was coming to buy it was a man who didn't speak. He was dark-skinned. And he bowed down. He put his hands together. He's always bowing down. And they were supposed to symbolize an Arab or a Muslim. And that was the first character that I saw of Arab or Muslim in that episode of, you know, Andy and Mayberry. And he never said anything. But the woman said, oh, they're so religious, those people. And they never protest and they're okay. You know, and it was like, to me, years later, when I looked at it, I go, wow, that's a horrible stereotype, you know, to cast this in. We're talking with Amin El-Gamal. He's the an actor, and he is going to be appearing in the new HBO TV series that starts Sunday. He has an episode that he'll be in on July 22nd. It's Sunday. It's episode 5 of The Newsroom on HBO. And, Amin, can you hang around with us a little bit and see if we can get some phone calls to out in Detroit?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here at Radio Ballady here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. I'm Ray Hanani. I'm here every Friday morning from 8 to 9 o'clock Detroit time, 7 to 8 o'clock Chicago time. And you can go online if you can't hear us on radio by visiting radioballady.com. We're going to continue our conversation with our guest, Amin El-Gamal, and his role in the HBO TV series that starts Sunday called The Newsroom by Aaron Sorkin. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sully at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's makluba, warak diwali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil, and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Ballady. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending
pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Baladi. That's 617-283-1018. Icon Computer Megastore. Mention Radio Baladi for great deals. Computers and laptops from $99. Apple computers from $129. Warranties included. Shipping available. Free layaway plans. Arabic to English keyboards, $5. Mouses, $5. Repairs for iPods, iPads, Apple computers, and PCs. Icon Computer Megastore on Greenfield, north of Warren Avenue in Dearborn. Mention Radio Baladi. Call today, 313-582-3100. 313-582-3100.
SevilleMedia.com is a wellspring of media arts. SevilleMedia.com tells God's story through short films, drama, poetry, music, and the internet. And you have free media downloads. Go to SevilleMedia.com and listen to Nasheed, based on the Psalms of the Prophet David, for free downloads in several Arabic dialects of stories, short films, poetry, and music. Go to SevilleMedia.com.
And welcome back to Radio Baladi here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. I'm Ray Anania. Our phone number is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. If you want to ask a question, join the conversation, make a comment about anything, I invite you to call in 248-557-3300. On the line with me is Amin El-Gamal. He's an up-and-coming rising star in Hollywood. Just a huge break, and obviously it reflects his talent. Aaron Sorkin, who's the Oscar-winning writer, picked him to play an amateur reporter Amin is Egyptian-American, but he'll be playing an amateur reporter who is in Egypt during the pro-democracy movement. And I think this is Hollywood's first portrayal of the Arab Spring on HBO's The Newsroom, which premieres this Sunday. And Amin will be in episode 5, July 22nd. And I'll remind everybody so that they don't miss it. But you should watch it every day, because it's not every day that we get an Arab American, you know, involved in anything in Hollywood or the media. And you can't just support him. You got to support the whole, you know, venture, because he could be successful. As I was reading through some of the background material on your role, this is kind of interesting. You had a lot of courage, because originally Aaron Sorkin had cast the character with a Swahili name. Obviously, I don't expect someone who's not Arab to know the difference between, you know, third world names, but you, being Egyptian American and Arab, recognize it right away, and you got him to change the name, correct?
Yeah, it was. I remember going into the audition originally and thinking, this character is so, you know, it was almost written for me.
Good.
But then thinking, like, wow, I've never heard this name before. I don't know where this came from. And then I Googled it, and apparently it's Swahili. According to Google, it's the Swahili origin. But I didn't say anything, because I was like, you know, this part isn't mine. I don't really want to be Mark Alec. And then I got the part, and it was really weighing on me, because I was, you know, as we've been saying, it's so unusual that you get to play a positive Egyptian, you know, role on TV. I mean, they just don't exist, or Egyptians, period. You don't really see a lot of Egyptians represented. So it was really important to me that this Egyptian had a name that reflected what Egyptians' names are. I mean, even on a symbolic level, it's like having your own name is so empowering. It's so empowering to the people who are watching.
And it's things like that that have turned off Arab Americans and Muslim Americans to the media, because we recognize the mistakes. You know, you can't blame somebody who is doing something. You know, they do the research, but sometimes they're little subtle things that they won't get right because they're not Arab. So only until you become part of it can you change it. I think it would have been terrible if you hadn't been on the show and they had somebody and they said, oh, this guy is going to be Egyptian, and yet he had a name that wasn't Arab. As an Arab, I'd hear the name and I go, wait a minute. You know, I'd be so preoccupied with, that's not an Arab name. Who would name their son that?
Ring through, yeah. So I thought with my ability to say something. I mentioned that I had a costume fitting a few days before we started shooting, and I mentioned it to the costume designer, and she was like, oh, Aaron's going to want to know about this. We should definitely.
Good.
Then we sat down and we wrote him an email, and his assistant responded very quickly and was like, yes, we definitely want to change it. Can you suggest some names? So I gave her a list of about maybe like 12 last names and 12 first names that were common.
Right.
And then we came up with a name based on those suggestions, but it was a little bit scary because I was.
It's almost like, geez, you know, am I risking my career by pushing for a change?
Yeah, but it was important to me, and I'm glad that we got the name. And there were still a few complications because the name we picked was a little bit hard to pronounce. So, but I did the best I could. Everyone seemed to pronounce it slightly differently.
Well, but that's part of the experience of Americans and Arabs. They don't always get our names, so the fact that they're going to have trouble with it reflects the reality of what the issue is.
Yeah, I think so too. So, so that was quite an experience, but it was really extraordinary that, you know, to find someone that had some integrity that was willing to work with me and that understood where I was coming from and wanted to change it.
Well, I give Aaron Sorkin a lot of credit because, you know, obviously a lot of people want to do the Arab Spring and work it into, especially if you're doing a show about TV news. You know, the Arab Spring is a big topic. You see it on CNN and on MSNBC. So you couldn't do a show called The Newsroom without addressing the Arab Spring. And I give him a lot of credit that, you know, he wanted to make sure that every detail was perfect, not just for Americans who would have accepted any name. You know, they could have called you Bob, and you could have been the Egyptian blogger named Bob, and most Americans would figure, okay, no problem, because they don't care about it. But every Arab in the country would be looking, going, okay, that's not a real common Arab name, although my cousin, I do have a cousin named Bob. we're talking with Amin El-Gamal. He's starring in the new HBO TV series, The Newsroom. And our number, if you want to ask him a question, I mean, if you're an aspiring, you know, actor or you're thinking about getting into Hollywood or maybe you are doing some stuff, you know, he's a role model for you now. And you'd be free to ask him a question at 248-557, you know, 3300. You know, I mean, when I do shows on American Arab culture in the United States and Muslim American culture, it really gets kind of slow but if I were talking about, you know, the Arab-Israeli conflict, the lines would be lit up. People would be screaming, very emotional. You know, if we were talking about, you know, some controversy in politics. But when we talk about it, I think this is more important than even the political.
I think that's right. I mean, all of that, you know, indignation is probably rightful.
Yes.
But I think if we took some of that, just like a fraction of that energy of that, you know, that we love to put into debating this kind of endless conflict.
Yes.
Into making a change where we live or doing a step closer to kind of understanding different perspectives and different sides, then it might be more useful.
Yeah, and I hope you stay involved. I mean, you know, as you get successful, you know, reach out to some of the younger people. You know, I want you to stay Arab. You know, I think it's so important to be Arab. But at the same time, you are an American. You are an actor.
Yeah.
You know, be true to your profession. Be true to, you know, be honest. And, you know, as a journalist, that sometimes I have to write things that I don't really like. Because it's part of my journalism ethics that I've been taught, you know, you have to be accurate. I can't exaggerate something just to make something look better because it happens to be close to my heart. So it's one of the problems that Arabs have with the media. You know, they don't like the dirty laundry sometimes coming out, you know, in what we do. And hopefully you won't have to deal with that.
Well, I mean, as an actor, I'm also... You know, I have an obligation as well as, you know, to Egyptians and Arabs and Arab Americans. I also have an obligation to human nature. That's kind of what I study. That's what I try to reflect. So when you're going to examine human beings, you're going to take the good and the bad.
Right.
I've always said, actually, I used to be ashamed of going in for roles that are terrorists. And now I'm like, give me a terrorist role.
Right.
And let me show you how this terrorist is a human being, too. You know,
right, yeah.
so I can, you know, I mean, how wonderful would it be for an actor, any actor, to be able to explore someone like Bin Laden, let's say, to be able
right.
to want human portrayal of someone like that is like would be a thrill to explore the dark, to explore the human aspect, to be able to understand the perspective of someone. Not that I condone, obviously, any of that.
Right.
As an actor, it's you have a responsibility to who you're representing, and you also have a responsibility to make them human.
Well, and that's the other side of the argument with Americans. I mean, you know, in order for America and the United States to deal with these issues, we need to recognize it honestly. You know, we demonizing somebody, I understand he's a terrible person, absolutely, but that's besides the point. If you want to understand somebody to defeat them, you have to understand the reality of them, not, you know, the just whatever, the whole thing. And, you know, terrible people, terrorists, you know, that have been, you know, whatever, there is a side to them that if we don't understand, that might be a mistake on our part in terms of, you know, beating them. And that doesn't just apply to Arabs. It applies to terrorists of every ethnic and religious, you know, brand out there. We need to look at everything honestly.
Where's the problem? Where is this? Why does this exist? And what is the problem?
Yes.
That's
and then when you understand that, you could probably be more successful in fighting. And it's very hard to explain that to Americans, you know, because they want to demonize somebody. But
yeah, I had a friend who was once like, how would you be able to play a terrorist? I mean, that's so pure evil, like Hitler. I mean, there's
right.
excuses. And I was like, you know, I don't believe in pure evil. I think there's evil things
right.
to do. But there's, you know, these are human beings after all, whether we like
a lot of well-intentioned good people do bad things.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would call, you know, people like Hitler or Bin Laden good people necessarily. I wouldn't. But
right. I mean, those are extreme, but, you know, they're people that are much closer to the line, you know, who are portrayed as just terrible, and we never get a break. You know, all the Arab
I
portrayals.
I want to keep that dimension and that, you know, not that anyone, I mean, I don't condone any violence against anyone. I just don't. But
right.
it's like the, yeah. Finding the human side is what's going to open people's minds so they can see the situations that are making these people the way they are. And then we can try to see how to change that.
Well, I mean, you have a great personality. You're a good person. I think you're very genuine in terms of wanting to be fair, accurate, and, you know, I mean, just very humble, too, in a way. And we're just excited for you, and we're just happy that you know, you're going to be on TV. It's good for you, but it's also good for us. When you represent us, it makes us feel good as a community to see somebody successful. And we need to learn as Arabs and Muslims, you know, to enjoy the success of others and support the success of others in our community, because that does help us. And we do wish you the best. I think it was great that you took some time to talk to us on radio. And so it's been phenomenal. Any final thoughts? Or you have a website. What's your website? Let's give that out to everybody.
The website is my name, Amin, AminElGamal.com. And
right.
my Twitter handle is the same, AminElGamal.
Well, listen, it was great. You were kind enough to come on Radio Chicagoland last Sunday and to come on Radio Bellity. We really appreciate it. We wish you a lot of luck, not just for you, but the series, The Newsroom on HBO by Aaron Sorkin. And as a reminder to our listeners, I'll remind them when you're going to be on, but I hope they watch it every Sunday to make it successful. And it might open other doors for other opportunities for you, and you don't always have to play an Arab. You know, you can play anybody, so we want to see you be successful.
Yeah, so my fingers are crossed for that, of course. But thank you so much for having me, and thanks for all the work that you do, Ray. It's really inspiring.
You're welcome, Amin. And listen, thank you. And again, everybody, he'll be on HBO on July 22nd. We're going to, that week on Radio Chicagoland and Radio Bellity, we're going to put a focus on that and have like a Amin El-Gamal party day. Party week to celebrate July 22nd. January 25th is the Egyptian Revolution. July 22nd will be the Arab American Hollywood Revolution. So we're going to have some fun with it and make sure everybody is tuned in for your show. Thanks so much, Amin, for joining us.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Great guy calling in to take the time to talk about Hollywood and journalism are things we need to do more and get involved with more. It's not just about politics. You can actually influence politics more through the media and all of the media, not just the news media, but media includes Hollywood TV, TV programs, Hollywood movies, entertainment, even stand-up comedy is a form of media. And we need to be more involved because that media defines what Americans understand about us and about where we come from in the Middle East. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take another break here at Radio Ballady. Our number is 248-557-3300. We'll have about 15 minutes to chat a little bit on other topics. Maybe we want to talk about what's happening in Egypt. They had their elections. Are the elections going to stand, or is the military going to steal the elections? I know a lot of people have a lot of fear. Is there going to be an impact on Israel's oppressive international violations of Palestinian rights? Can this election change things? We'll talk all about that at 248-557-3300 here at Radio Ballady. Please stay tuned. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion right after these messages.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Ballady. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Ballady. That's 617-283-1018. The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690. We were talking with Amin El-Gamal. He's an Egyptian-American actor from California, and he is going to star in one of the episodes of The Newsroom from HBO. The Newsroom is a new HBO series that starts this Sunday, 7 o'clock, I believe, Central. But you got to check the time. I still don't have whether that's 7 o'clock Central or Eastern. But my guess is it's 7 o'clock Central and 8 o'clock Eastern, which would be Detroit time on HBO, The Newsroom, starring Jeff Daniels. It's kind of a play on CNN and, you know, cable TV news and the rise of cable TV news. And, you know, all the different challenges that the media has with politics. But one episode, the fifth episode on July 22nd, that Sunday, will focus on the Arab Spring and the protests in Egypt. And they brought in, Aaron Sorkin, the producer, brought in a American, Egyptian, Arab, Amin El-Gamal, to play a blogger in Egypt who is helps the newsroom get their stories. Let's go to the phone lines at 248-557-3300 and welcome Joe to Radio Ballady. Joe, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Thank you for calling.
I listen to your show every Friday. I really like your show. I like the conversation that you have every Friday. But, however, sometimes I disagree with your opinion.
That's okay. That's okay because we don't – listen, if we agreed, do you know how boring life would be?
Exactly.
So I'm welcome. I'm more open to anybody's views as long as we're respectful to each other. You know, we don't have to agree. So whatever your view, you're more than welcome to express it, believe me.
Exactly, exactly. But at least I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you that both of us that we believe in the freedom and with civil rights. And as our Arabic community here, we have to discuss this issue peacefully. We don't have to hate each other, you know.
Right.
One thing that I have a request from you, when you talk about an issue,
sure.
Especially when it comes to Syria, we have to talk about it from all its aspects, you know. You always attack the regime. You are against the regime. At the same time, those people, they're calling themselves revolutionaries. They are a group of terrorists. They have the same mentality that they came, that Bin Laden, the first Bin Laden came with. Remember that the United States support this those terrorists against the Soviet Union. And when those people came in power, the first thing they did, they attacked the United States and killed the United States. Same thing, those people who support the terrorist group in Syria right now is against Bashar al-Assad. Saudi Arabia is the worst country when it comes to the freedom of speech, when it comes to the religion. They don't have Christian in their country. There's no church in Saudi Arabia, and it comes on talk about freedom to the Syrian people. That's horrible.
Well, listen, Joe, I think that you and I agree on this principle. I am critical, I'll be honest with you, I am critical of the Assad regime. Mm-hmm. I'm critical of every dictator. Now, mm-hmm. I do agree with you that, and there have been stories slowly coming up about some of the, you know, the protesters, these rebel groups, some of them have been extremists themselves and have used violence also and have committed acts of terrorism. I agree with you. I'm not saying they're not. I guess what I expect, though, is, you know, for example, that I expect the government to be better than the rebels. Even though the rebels, you know, have done things that the government has done, you know, they're rebels. They're not a government. They're trying to do something to bring change. Not all of them are terrorists, but some of them might be. But the Assad regime, you don't kill little kids and women and children to punish them, because if this were the only time, I would say, oh, maybe he didn't do that. But his father did it in Hama, you know, 30 years ago. He's doing the same thing. This is what they believe. You and I are Arab. We know what Arabs are like. There are some Arabs that are tough, and if you say one thing, they will destroy you. A father will beat his kid if he stands up to him. You know, and that's the image that I have of Assad. He crossed the line. It's more, for me, it's about him being replaced. But I agree with you. There are issues with the rebels. And I think that, you know, they're going to have to be dealt with too. But at this point, I think the most important thing, and that maybe this is where we disagree a little bit, I think Assad needs to go first. And then we have to hopefully have the opportunity to bring a democracy. It may not work.
I'm sorry. Let me tell you one thing.
Yes, go ahead.
If Bashar al-Assad will go tomorrow, Syria is not going to be stable. You know, look at all those countries. It's called Arabic Spring. They don't have Arabic Spring. They have Fall Spring. I mean, I'm against dictators. I'm against the regime in Syria. But we have to be honest.
I think you're saying something that a lot of people recognize. You know, that the Arab people in the Muslim world, we have to have a dictator. Like, you know, listen, Saddam Hussein, as much as we didn't like him for what he was doing, he kept Iraq intact. And even though his son and brutal, you know, there were extreme violence on the part of him and his family, the fact was that once that tough father image was taken out of Iraq, Iraq just completely collapsed. And I'm not sure it's ever going to be right. So you're right. It's just a terrible thing that our only choice is to have a dictator to tell us what to do.
One thing I want to just mention eventually. Those people, they abducted 11 hostages, Lebanese. I'm not from Lebanon. You know, one of my relatives are with them. They have nothing to do with anything to do in Syria. They still have them as an hostages. 11 Lebanese have nothing to do with Syria. I don't know why they did that for. Anyway, I hope everything. I really feel bad when I see this kid killed in Syria for no reason.
Right.
My heart goes with him. You know, I really cry. I used to cry when I used to see Palestinian people killed by the Israeli Air Force.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, you know, we see those people getting killed by each other. You know, that's pretty sad. I hope everything will solve the problem, and we'll pray for God that will be peaceful in Syria.
I think you're pretty reasonable, Joe. I appreciate, you know, the way we could have a discussion about this. It's very reasonable. I think you make some very important points.
Thank you very much, Ray. Have a nice day.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much. The most important thing is when I was talking about Amin, we have to be honest with each other, and we can't just push one side over the other. The fact is that, yeah, the rebels in Syria, some of them are doing horrible things. But still, you got to put it all on a balance. And I think that what's been done to the people by the Assad regime is just intolerable. There's no way that Bashar al-Assad can remain in office. And they're already talking about giving him immunity if he'll leave. And if he doesn't leave, he will face, and there's a certainty about this, Bashar al-Assad and his wife, Asma, and their family and their generals will all go the same route as Saddam Hussein, because it is a new world today, and those changes are going to happen. So, you know, I'm not going to support Bashar al-Assad, but I do think that there needs to be pressure on the rebels not to do the same thing that the Syrian government is doing to its own people. Anyway, listen, we've been having a great morning. The conversation was good, and our guest, Amin al-Gamal, was good. I hope you'll join us again every Friday. We're here every Friday at WNZK AM 690 on Radio Ballady. Our website is radioballady.com. We want to thank Radio Ramica. You know, you can call the cell phone at 712-432-8008 to listen live. Also, Ziad Brothers. Everything for supporting our radio show, all of the organizations and all the people. Anyway, listen, you guys have a great week. Remember, if you get a chance on Sundays, you can listen to Radio Chicagoland from 9 to 11 in Detroit by visiting RadioChicagoland.com. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Have a great week. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
We are WNZ.